sometimes you hear, you come across on the internet, how much of our lives we actually spend waiting. And of course, when you go looking for that fact, you can't find it. But it's measured in years over your lifetime. You spend years waiting. It could be for trivial things. It could be for things that are very important. But we spend a lot of time waiting. Just this morning, I heard of someone who's stuck in Belfast trying to fly to Heathrow and then to Vancouver. And because the flights in Heathrow are stopped at the moment because of the weather, they're waiting. Maybe waiting for a bus to come. Maybe waiting for a birthday. Maybe waiting for the kettle to boil. Maybe waiting for the post to arrive. Waiting for the traffic lights to change. Queuing for absolutely everything. Maybe waiting for questions to be answered. Maybe wondering how many more sleeps it is to Christmas. Waiting. We all do it. Some waiting, as I've said, is trivial. Doesn't really matter for us. But there's other waiting which is so important. It's very much part of our lives. So a big question must be for us, if we spend that amount of time waiting in our lives, how do we actually wait? How do we go about that waiting? Are we people who drum our fingers, tap our toes impatiently, just waiting for something to happen? Is it just a time when we switch off, put our feet up, wait? Or is it more than that? How do we wait? It's a great question to ask ourselves. And Advent is that time of waiting. Time of waiting for Christmas. Time of waiting also for the time when Jesus will come again. So, if waiting is to be bearable, we need to do something with it. And it's already been mentioned quite a few times in our service this morning that we wait with hope. We wait with hope. Can you turn with me to Psalm 130, which Hilary read for us earlier on? It is this lovely psalm. It's a psalm where the psalmist is, well, he says he cries out of the depths. He's in the pits. Eugene Peterson in The Message simply says, the bottom has dropped out of my world. That's how he feels. And we've all been there. When we just feel as though we're in the pits. We don't know why the psalmist is there. We know that he needs forgiveness. We know that he turns to God, but he's in the pits. And verse 5 simply says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. Is the psalmist drumming his fingers, tapping his toes, pacing up and down impatiently? Is that how the psalmist waits? Or is it more than that? Is there just a vague hope that things will get better? Maybe if he just sticks it out, toughs it out for long enough, the life will be better. He won't be in the pits anymore. Maybe tomorrow will be a better day. And yet as you read through this psalm, it becomes clear that the psalmist waits with this hopeful expectation. And that changes his waiting. It changes his waiting. And so the psalmist simply says, in his word, I put my hope. He waits with hope. The God who makes and keeps promises, the psalmist hopes in his word, in his promises. During the Old Testament, there are lots and lots of pointers which point us towards the birth of Jesus. Right away from the very beginning of Scripture in Genesis right through, there are lots of events, there are lots of promises made that point us towards the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. But it didn't happen immediately. It didn't just come about instantly, as maybe many people would have liked it to, as probably we would have liked it to. It didn't just happen. It happened when the time was right. That's one of those lovely phrases that occurs during Scripture. when God's timing is perfect, when the Bible simply says, when the time was right. So there was waiting for Jesus to be born when the time was right. And so all those folks down through the years in the Old Testament times put their trusts in God, in his word and his promises, and waited until Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And if you remember some of the stories around that birth, one of the lovely stories is when Mary and Joseph take the tiny infant Jesus to the temple, when he's only days old, they take him to the temple, and there are people waiting there. There's an old man called Simeon, an old lady called Anna. They knew the promises of God. They knew that God was going to send the Messiah, the Christ, the promised one. They knew. And they'd been waiting, not pacing up and down, not being impatient, not pulling their hair out, not getting grumpy about it. But they waited expectantly, knowing that God would keep his promise. And as those young parents bring the baby Jesus into the temple, Simeon and Anna, you can almost hear them cheer. This is it. This is what we've waited for. He is the anointed one. He's the chosen one. And they worship God when the promise is kept. They waited. But they waited with hope. The psalmist here says we wait as watchmen wait for the morning. Now, there are a couple of different ideas that could possibly be at work here. It could be that it was watchmen in the temple, and it was their job to watch for the dawn to come, because that signaled when the sacrifices would start at dawn, when the temple would, if you like, come to life at dawn. So the watchmen waited for to see the sun rise, and they would start off those celebrations in the temple. Or it could simply be a watchman keeping guard over something or someone, waiting for the darkness to go and the dawn to come so their shift was over. Whatever it is, either way, the picture is of someone who knows that the dawn is coming. And they wait expectantly. They wait knowing that the sun's going to rise and the darkness will go. And they wait with hope for the dawn to come. And the psalmist says, you know the way the watchman waits for the morning to come? Well, even more so do I wait and hope in the Lord. My soul waits for the Lord. More than watchmen wait for the morning. And then this call, verse 7. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. What are you going to do while you're waiting? There are lots of things that people could have done. Places they could have put their hope, other people they could have trusted, other things they could have put their hope in. And the psalmist simply says, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, because he can be trusted. For with the Lord is unfailing love. The psalmist knows that who he hopes in is more important than what he hopes for. Who he hopes in is more important than what he hopes for. We're not told the details of what he hopes for, but he knows who he hopes in. His hope is in God, whose unfailing love will never leave him. And so if you go back to Simeon, waiting in the temple for God's promised one to come along, Simeon simply cries out, my eyes have seen your salvation, God, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Simeon knows where his hope is. It's in the God who made the promise and the God who kept the promise. This verse 8 of this psalm simply points us to this full redemption that we have in Jesus. It's not just a small part of an answer to our problem. The psalmist reminds us that in God we have full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. We live in that in-between time. That in-between time between the birth of Jesus and the time when he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. We live in that waiting period. And so the question for us again must be, how do we wait? How do we live? Well, with the psalmist, part of it surely should be to turn to God who hears your voice. The psalmist says his ear is attentive to your cry. So we turn to God as we wait. This is the God who is both with us, Emmanuel, God with us, and for us in Jesus. The God in whom we have full redemption from sin. We turn to God so that we are ready when Jesus comes. Again, it's not that pointless impatience. It's being prepared. It's being ready. It's placing our trust and our hope in the one who is completely trustworthy, the one who is unfailing in his love. So our waiting is not empty, but it's expectant. We wait over these few weeks to celebrate again the birth of Jesus, to remember the events in Bethlehem, the events which were almost quiet, almost unnoticed. But we wait too for that day when every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We wait with hope for that time when Jesus will return. And so with the psalmist, we simply remind ourselves, put your hope in the Lord. All Christian hope comes from God. Without God, there is no sure and certain hope. With God, we have a certainty around us. And we need that certainty. There's so much uncertainty. Whether it's in our own lives, whether it's in our province, our nation, whether it's in Europe, whether it's in the world, there is so much uncertainty around us that in Jesus we have that sure and certain hope, which means we can wait positively, creatively. In whom you put your hope is so important. Paul knew this as he wrote to the church in Rome to encourage that church. The end of chapter 15 in Romans, Paul simply prays for that church. And it's our prayer too. May the God of hope, where is our hope? Our hope is in God. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That was Paul's prayer for the church. That should be our prayer for each other as we wait, not just for celebrating Christmas, but as we wait for that time when Jesus will surely come again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, so that you may overflow with hope. Of all the people in this world, God's people should be those who overflow with hope. When so much around us points to hopelessness, we who profess to follow Jesus should overflow with a sense of hope, with a positive outlook, That's not based on optimism, not based on wishing, but based on the sure and certain hope that we have in Jesus. So this Advent, as we prepare to celebrate, this Advent, as we wait for Jesus to return, may we be known for that strong hope that we have in Jesus. And to him be all praise and glory. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, in the silence, we remember the issues in our own lives and the issues around us which would rob us of hope. But in the silence too, Lord, we lift our eyes to Jesus, in whom we have hope. Lord, work in us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, so that that hope which you have placed in us overflows. And this we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to stand together and sing once more of this celebrating, of this coming to remember what God has done for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. So come, all ye faithful.